Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
I serve the party for the waters of my soul, longing after thee. You alone are my heart, the sire and the Lord, to worship you. You alone are my shame. To you alone make my spirit healed. You alone are my heart, desire and the Lord to worship you. You my friend and you my brother, even though you are a king, I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. Let's sing the verse 3. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. Oh God, oh God, you alone are the real joy giver, and the who my, you alone, you. Do you make my spirit yield? Oh, you alone are my desire. Oh, to worship. One more time, the chorus. You alone, oh, you
alone,
my strength, my shield. To you alone, may my spirit yield. You are my desire and long to. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you here? Today's topic is the part 2 of last week, Only See Jesus. Try trying to see one or two scriptures the Lord laid in my heart also. All right. So we started talking about seeing only Jesus last week, and how that through scriptures we've seen that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's a manifest presence of the Father. He's a revelation of God unto humanity, isn't it? And that's why he said in John 14 that if anyone has seen me, he has seen the one that has what? Sent me. So Jesus revealed his God sin, isn't it? That simply means when we see Jesus, we have seen God. And if the Bible says God made us in his image and likeness, it's only normal for us to see ourselves like Jesus, because Jesus is the revelation of God. Are we together? And of course, if the Bible is about God Almighty and Jesus is a revelation of God, then the Bible should be centered on Jesus. He's the center of scripture. That's why in Luke 24, he told us, I think it was 44 we read last week, Luke 24, around 44, how that everything points to him. Are we together? That every part of the Bible points to him. From the Old Testament where he stood, you know, he was at the middle of the Old and the New Testament, about to bring about the New Testament, while he was talking, when he was talking about the whole scriptures through the Old Testament, pointing to him. He said, beginning from Moses, the prophet, and the songs, the Psalms, isn't it? Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be what? Which were what? Oh, come on, get engaged in service. Don't look like dead corpse. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are you alive?
Yes, sir.
Are you mourning?
No, sir.
So read out alive. You know, some people don't, if you don't, Satan is the one that makes you not respond in church. And it's proof you don't want to know the Bible. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So let's read one to go. Alright, so you see, he said all things must be fulfilled, which were written where? In the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. So you see that? So what are the things that will be fulfilled, like I said last Tuesday? The things written concerning him in the law of Moses, not everything. You know, there's a part of scriptures in Ecclesiastes. I don't know if you have seen that, that said, do not be too righteous. Ever saw that part of scripture? And when you see it now, you are wondering, what does the Bible mean by that? Should I curtail my righteousness? Should I sin sometimes? Should I not, you know, should I do some category of sin, blah, 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 after all the Bible said? You know, somebody can use that as an excuse to be corrupt. He doesn't club, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, then he will say, but it's okay to, if you take government funds, to cut like 30% inside and do something for yourself, it's only normal. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Such a person will now quote, do not be too righteous. And you'll be amazed, it's in the Bible. Are we together? And especially for some of you who like who like guy as men, for instance. Have you seen the part of scripture that says you should not touch the sides of your hair before? Huh? Do you know there's a part of scripture that says do not touch the sides of your hair? So what do you do with those part of scriptures that say don't touch the sides of your hair? Huh? Will you just find a way to say to just ignore it so that you don't feel condemned? That's why you must rightly divide the word of truth. And that part of scripture is there in the Bible. You know, I saw some brother, some man of God, I mean, quoting that part of scripture. And you see, sometimes the problem is we just put this thing anyhow. I think we should be having time. time where we sit down and just take long hours to understand the Bible. I sincerely think we should have time like that. Because you see, this 1.5 hour I'm going to use to teach you now is not even enough. If I want to finish up my planned sermon today or curriculum, I will not start engaging some kind of things that are unnecessary because it will take me so much time and I may not finish. You know, when somebody carries wants to hear the sermon, he sees the team only see Jesus. Then he hears me talking about some things in the Bible. He'll be wondering whether I'm mad. And sometimes I almost do things like that so that I answer questions in the heart of people, but it's not proper. Are we together? So I think we should have enough time, like 10 hours that we take to understand scriptures. What do you think? We worship, we pray, then we sit down. If it's prayer meeting, we pray, then we worship and know the word. If it's time to know the word, we know the word more than we'll take time to pray in tongues and worship. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I think we should have time for that. I sincerely think so. So if you see that part of scripture now, what comes to your mind? Like I saw a dear apostle quoting it one time. And it is because of a controversial this statement the person made. I don't think it's a statement. The song came out and people started, people were being judgmental because of the person's style of dressing. I don't think he had said what I heard him say afterwards. At that time, it was because of his style of dressing. He dressed in a certain way that we who are Christians are not familiar with. Let's put it like that. Are we together? And some people were being judgmental on the dressing. And see, sometimes try to view things from everybody's perspective. You know, you wouldn't really blame people if they are being judgmental. But some people take it to the extreme. There are some people that really don't care about that guy's dressing. They just were looking for a time to just insult. They are just used to insulting people and judging people. It's not like they truly care whether it was righteous dressing or evil dressing. They are just talkatives. There are people like that. Anytime they are condemning people, they like to be a part of it. For such people, we don't care about whatever they think. Are we together? But for those who sincerely think that something is wrong, I think we should consider their perspective. You know, sometimes they look at us and say, Africa, we have a problem, blah, 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 that's why we are backward. You can't be talking like that. All of us in Africa are not fools. It's not everybody that is a fool in Africa. It's not everybody that is daft in Africa. A lot of intelligent people, civilized people have arisen from Africa. Isn't it? Many wonderful people have risen up from Africa who are enlightened in every part of the world, who are celebrated in every part of the world. So what do you say about people like that? You cannot, because of the systems that our leaders or some of our fathers put in place in government that's giving us a wrong kind of look, shape to the world, begin to judge all of us as foolish. We are not all foolish in Africa. Some people who are at the forefront of representing us may have given us a wrong name, but we are not all foolish. Are we together? So don't, because of the state of Nigeria, describe Nigerians as useless people. Nigerians are not stupid people. Yes, the state of Nigeria may be bad, but we are not foolish people. We are ruled by people too. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? On my own, I cannot make a decision that will stand in this country. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? Because I'm not the president. You are not the president, you are not the governor. So you cannot judge Nigeria by one or two individuals or by certain activities that happen. Because we are not the legislators, physically. Are we together? Are we together? So there are some people who will leave this country for a while and come back to insult us. As if those other countries they've gone to don't have churches. They do have churches. They even brought the church to us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They showed us Jesus. And you get what I'm trying to say? So you can't because of what you have seen there begin to do. And a lot of times Satan make you so bitter that you are so blind. When they come back, they say Africa is so backward because of Christianity. You know, and when they say religion, it's not religion they mean. No. It's Christianity they are trying to hit, covering it with the marks of religion. When you see people come and say religion is the problem of Africa, if you check so deep, the first people they want to insult are pastors. They don't have a problem with the other religion. So they will sound so nice as if religion is actually a problem, but Satan is actually making them have this hatred towards Christianity. It's Christianity they are looking for an avenue to insult somehow. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? And would we say truly religion? Because we are not a religion as Christians. Religion has not really been a problem in Africa. We can't say that some sort of religion have been quite a problem in Africa. You know, because people have been subjected by some spiritual beliefs. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I was talking with a young man who came to see me, who is a leader with BSU, I think. He leads their JCCF fellowships. And while we're talking, trying to advise him on leadership and teach him certain things in the office, I said to him, I said, you see, you know, trying to explain how as a leader you can command unity. And probably you should learn from that. You know, I said to him, I said, BSU is full of, it's a university. People are coming from different places, different beliefs, different school of thought, even in Christianity. And I said, the way to shape, to bring everybody united is not by daring people or by warning people. Even if the people don't know what they are doing, if you try to warn them or try to take leadership, I mean subject them by force, they will think you are a Pharisee and they are Jesus. Satan will make them think like they are standing for the right cause. And you who think you know what you are doing are even evil. So I said, you don't do that. How do you go about it? I said, firstly, it is God that gives leadership. So if it's God that gives leadership, you pray. You take out time to pray. Because outside Christian beliefs, these people who you think are spiritual leaders, their humanity is intact. They have pride. There's a way you talk to them that they will react to you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you pray. You tell the Holy Spirit to help you. And you become humble. You know, as a leader, if you are not humble, you will not be able to make any impact. You must be humble. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. And somehow go in humility and talk to them. Organize meetings where you can, if not you, other people come and explain some powerful truths to them. And do not be biased. Because you see, sometimes you can inherit enemies. You can inherit enemies. You know, while we're on campus, of course, not to just make any trouble from this, I observe that when a set of the JCCF leadership leaves, another set inherit us as enemies. And when I observe that, I said it seems they give them a wrong orientation. So the person who is leaving will tell them there's a certain fellowship who are troublesome. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you see, they are already even anticipating a problem. And I said to him, I said, I hope you are not inheriting an enemy. Because I had seen leaders. You know, I remember one of them, such a wonderful man, I think he's in Lafayette today, he's a pastor. He came to me and said, I'd watched from afar how you were far from Jesus. And we're on campus that time. And he said, I want you close because I feel there is nothing wrong with what you are doing. I said, fine, we can be close. And I sensed the Holy Spirit was really doing a great thing in his heart. I was trying to cite examples while teaching him. So I said, don't inherit enemies. And I'm saying to you all too, don't inherit what? Enemies. You know what stops revival or limits revival? Sometimes it is people's biases. They think all they've encountered about God is everything about God. And a lot of times they are stuck because they are of their selfishness. Very stuck. Especially if it's mixed with this African mentality. Please, I'm going somewhere. Carefully listen to me. I was watching a program many years ago. There was a dear man of God. I don't know if he's still preaching. His name is Prophet Manasseh Jordan. At the time I was watching him, he was 1 year or 2 years older than I am. Yeah, I think 1 year. And he was preaching in a conference for Pastor Benny Hinn. As a matter of fact, Pastor Benny Hinn prophesied his birth. I prophesied he was going to be a prophet. He was a very sound prophet. He is a very sound prophet. I don't know where he is today, but I hope he's still a very sound prophet. I've not been seeing so much of him on the internet. And at that time, you're so sound prophesying and doing wonderful things. I mean, he was such an accurate prophet. And I was enjoying whatever I was seeing. Hallelujah. So I kept on watching, because you attract what you like and what you see. And as I was watching, something just dropped in my heart when he mentioned his age. Because Pastor Benny said, "What age are you? What is he saying? Let him hear." When he mentioned his, I was like, "Wow, this is his age." I said, "Okay, if this person is probably in Africa, this gift will hardly find expression." I don't mean any disrespect. You know why it will hardly find this expression? Firstly, your age. The way you will be called a small boy, that gift will hardly even speak. And this is somebody laying hands on great father, grandfathers of faith. When he just mentioned their box mail number and mentioned their, sometimes their PIN number, ATM PIN number, mentioned, you just see them raise their hands up. He'll just lay and take, and the old man will just be going down. Woo! Not one old man, not one. And I was saying, I'm sure if some African folks were there too, who are fathers in the faith, they would have lifted their hands too. But you see, Africa has a little, you see, I heard Pastor Irene saying this thing before. He said that is what made him to really come in all his might to break out. There's somehow these biases with seniority. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Especially in our state. Have you seen how a team man talks to a younger person before? Huh? There's a way they call it. They say, Awan la. You know, to them, you know, Awan is supposed to be a child, a boy, probably. What? Come help me. Wanla means what? A boy, right? But what is boy in Tiv? Is there a word? Eh? Nonsu. All right, right? One literally means what in Tiv? Okay. You see somebody elderly and a Tiv man, sometimes some of them that are very disrespectful will call you Wanla. You know what they mean by that? It's like that word Wanla means a child. You think it's just a normal word. They are kind of downgrade. It means he doesn't respect you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a very bad mentality. That mentality is from the pit of hell. It's from poverty. It's a local thing. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Is it something in the public? They say those kind of things. Just seriously, the one la. You know, especially when probably they're a little bit angry. One la chiqua. You can hear something like that. And not just with the thief man. The African mentality. Somehow it's like that. In fact, some will not say one la. Some will say, I want no chukula. Meaning you are a small child. Not just a child. A very small child. If you give it a literal explanation in English, it means a child like Shekinah. And you are calling somebody who is over 40. You know, one time I was listening to somebody analyze. Just somehow I was fixing my car. He was talking about Peter Obi becoming president. He said, one la, fato. Now, if Peter Obi is over 50 something years, is one la. Who am I? Wanu Chukula probably is me. So I say, if such a man probably grew in this state, if they say prophesy, the way he will look at people self, the way he sees their mindset, the prophecy will say, wait for me 5 years time, that's when I'll find expression. It may not find expression. We see their mentality is quite different. Look at your Bible, how God called people. Jeremiah was called at what age? Less than 17, not even 17. And when God told him to go and prophesy, he told God, because he probably has a people, he was in around a people who are like, these are people here. How do I go out as a child and go and tell these people that you said sent me for with a word for Israel? You see how God does things? He's giving a child that is less than 17 a word for an entire country. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Even as I'm talking, most of you are not expecting God to speak to you for Nigeria because you of Nigeria. Nigeria has happened to you. Because of what how you are growing up, you don't even expect God to speak to you. If they say God will give you a word for Nigeria, you will not even believe it. Because Nigeria have made you to feel like you are not qualified for that. Am I lying to you? How many of you think God wants to speak to you about Benue State? Have you opened your ear to hear what God is saying about Benue State? Because you think you are even too small. When you even hear, because of how they disrespect people who are young, you will not even believe what you heard. That is my mind. It's my mind. God did not speak. It's my mind. God spoke to Jeremiah for Israel. They had mighty prophet. Imagine you were Jeremiah. Grow up knowing that Moses ever existed in Israel. Isaiah ever existed in Israel. All the great men of God like that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And you now are 17, no impact yet. You just were starting this journey. Then God said, I have a word for Israel through you. You have not even parted the Red Sea. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You've not had wonderful encounters that should be affirmations. And God said, go and speak to Israel. How many of you will believe that that's God speaking to you? Or you to be a familiar spirit. You say, get out from me, you familiar spirit. Well, the way the African church is going, how many of you will believe that? If you have not prayed 20 hours, you have not started. How many of you believe that? That guy had not prayed more than 2 hours yet. God sent him for Israel. Are you following what I'm saying? Oh, I lost you. You've not heard that statement yet? You are 20 years and you have not prayed 20 hours. You are choking. You are choking. Call us comedians. Now, it's not like I've not prayed 20 hours. I've prayed more than 20 hours. I will never boast with such a thing. Because that time I was praying 20 hours. That was one of the worst seasons of Christianity for me. I still can pray any amount you want me to pray. I grew up in an apostolic setting. When you hear Wuta Wuta Babana, we brought all the slogan. Prayer is our slang. And I was watching one apostle, I think in Lafia, I came across his video on YouTube. And I was smiling because it was the same with many young people who were on fire in those days. He said, I was a prayer warrior, was called a prayer warrior, but was suffering with addiction. See that? Because you see, God is no respecter of no man. It's not all the decorums you do in the flesh that affirm you anything in the supernatural. None of those decorum. And most of us are under pressure to tell people we can pray or to look like prayer warriors. All of those things don't matter. Reputation is not your business. It is character that really matters. Whatever people want to think, they will think. If you care about your reputation so much, you have heart attack. Because why somebody is saying you are nice, another person is saying you are a fool. The Bible says Jesus was hated without a cause. Then who are you? You did not do anything. They are hating you. You are angry. Jesus, the Bible says, was hated without a cause. Meaning Jesus will pass the street, people will be getting irritated. You want to just heap enemies for your life? My simple way, if you want to heap enemies, just start saying the truth. As long as you say the truth, you become the number one stupid human being in the eyes of so many. Look at our society today. Look at our society. You know, some of you saw me post. I posted something. I'm sure some of you were surprised. What happened to Prophet? He had to come out so plain like this. Although, even my post, if you are not intelligent, you will not even understand what I posted. It takes so much intelligence to understand me. What I posted, I said, in 212 and in 220, all souls are precious to God. And if they were precious to God in 212 and in 220, God does not change. All souls are still precious to God in 2025. It's a mystery. It has a deep interpretation. And the Lord give you understanding. And I'm sure many people are wondering. You know, somebody messaged me and said, why would you do that? Blah, 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 blah. I said, because I had to do that. And while he was talking, I saw how how biased human beings can be, how very wicked they can be. So biased. You see, if they say, if Paul said, do not be conformed to the system of the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, it's a powerful truth. It's a very powerful truth. When he says we've been called out, it's not, that statement is not what makes affirms that you have been called out. When he said you have been called out from every tribe, people, and nation, it's deeper than you can imagine. You know, some people quote it, I've been called out from every people, tribe, and nation. But your thinking today does not prove you understand what it means to have been called out. And remember, at the end of everything, it's being called out by the precious blood of Jesus. It's the same thing, the manifestation. This will be become a manifestation if you understand Romans 12, 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to the systems of the world, but be transformed by what? The renewal of your mind, so that you prove the things that are what? Acceptable and perfect. Else, ethnicity and religion will still make you biased. You can be a pastor and have ethnicity as a problem in your heart. I tell you, it's a very deep truth. It takes the truth of God's word to make you not biased. That's why if you observe certain denominations, some of you cannot even hide it. You can't deny this truth. It is as if the man is this tribe, that's the tribe that travels the most there. It happens. Nobody can lie about that. There are certain churches that when you call it, you call a tribe. When you call it, you call a particular tribe. It is because some of this understanding is not really predominant there. It's not dominant there. If it is, you will not be able to tell the difference. Are you listening to me? There are many people as Christians that will still tell you that don't trust an Ijaw man. They are Christians. They'll tell you don't trust a thief man. Don't trust an Ijaw man. Don't trust an Igbo man with money. These are Christians talking. You see? According to the Bible, they are not intelligent. You can't say don't trust a Zuzo man. You don't know which man you are talking to there. If it's the same or different with the majority you have seen. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? It's so funny. And I had to make the post because right now in Nigeria, many people are quiet. Especially men of God. Somebody said, why must it be a man of God? Because I am a man of God. I was concerned because I was wondering, are there no men of God in this country? What is happening? People who are respected in the whole world, they are in this country. You know, the other day I saw a man of God praying for Israel and Pakistan. He's speaking peace over them. Right now, till date, we have not seen a post on Benue killing. And yet, you are praying for Israel and Pakistan. The Bible says, show love especially to them that are what? Of the household of faith. Charity begins where? At home. If we don't talk, how do we see change? It's not only prayer that will solve this, you know. Faith without work is what? Dead. Are you all listening to me? We have to call a spade a spade. You know why younger ministers like me, most of them will not talk? They want to be big ministers of the gospel. And they need affirmation from some of these people. It's the truth. And I'm not saying that it is wrong to get affirmation from all of these people. It's not wrong, but I believe God beyond everybody is the lifter of men. And I'm not trying to be stubborn, but you must call a spade a spade. It's more like we're in a cage. Somebody has to be the first to come out of the cage, and I choose to be the first. It doesn't matter what you think. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's my way. If you think God will punish me, fine. Like I told the brother, let him punish me. But if you don't know if you will punish me, then be cool. Let's keep on serving God. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you see, many people, the word of God has not really had its full course in them. Of course, you are seeing right now that tomorrow the president is going to be in this state, isn't it? And the same people who they are slaughtering are preparing to dance. There was a letter, I don't know if some of you saw it. They are preparing to go and do cultural dance. You see why God told the children of Israel to be in the wilderness? Huh? They were not ready for the land of promise. Do you think these people are ready for the land of promise? You know what I mean by that? You think we are ready for a man that will come and change this church? Because God gives a people the leader they deserve. This thing is deeper than you can imagine. It's very deeper. You think these people desire a change? We are only few that desire a change in this state. We are not many. I tell you the truth. As long as people's stomach can be filled, to hell with whatever is happening. To hell. Are you listening to me tonight? To hell. And I tell you, you may be wondering, some people, there are even some that have lost people. In fact, there are some that have lost their village. They are ready to go and dance tomorrow. They don't have a village again. But they are ready to dance tomorrow. Let me share something very deep with you. Years ago, my spiritual father, we went to visit a dear sister. And we went to visit her family, but she was a point of attraction because she was in our ministry. So she lost her father, and we went to visit the family to share our condolence with them and everything. And when we went there, we were leaving. My spiritual father said something to me. He always tells me whisper things to my ear. I was so small, but I don't know why he had that confidence in me. He said, "You see this lady? She's happy that she lost her father." I said, "Really?" I couldn't believe it. Believe me, I doubted it. I said, "Not possible. Nobody will be happy he lost." He said, "Simon, you will see. You will hear a news." That same evening when people were mourning in her house, she was somewhere in the barracks with a man. I think they were kind of drinking or something. She went to visit the man when people were mourning in her house. And when the report got to my spiritual father, I said, "Did you hear what I told you?" And I said, "But why would somebody be that stupid?" He said, "Because she has been influenced by Satan so much, and the father has been refusing her to live the kind of life she wants to live. So now she thinks freedom has come." So I now ask him, "Why would somebody be this evil? Happy that the father is no more, so that she can be living the kind of life she was." He said, "It is the nature of sin. The nature of the fallen man." Are you listening to me? The nature of sin, the nature of the fallen man. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You see the flesh? The flesh, Paul speaking in Romans 7. He said, let's go to Romans 7. Let me look at it very briefly. I have to look at my Bible to be sure where it is. Around okay. All right, let's see from verse 15 and 16 of Romans 7. It says, let me read here. It says, "For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." That's our scripture. And we have established that Paul is not writing. This is not Paul's present state. Remember that? This is Paul before he became born again, as somebody trying to live by the law. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Remember the focal point from verse 1. "I write to them that what? Know the law." And the word knowledge is kenosko. Knowledge that comes from experience. So Paul, being somebody that lived by the law before, he understands the activities around somebody that is living by the law. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And he's writing to them more like, "I know what is happening to you people, because I've lived like you people before." And in summary, we all are more like hypocrites because we know what is happening. So go back to 15. "For what I'm doing, I do not understand. What I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." Next part of scripture. It then says, "If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good." Next part of scripture. Okay, there's a part I'm looking for. I don't think I've seen it. "I find another law in my members, warring against." Alright, verse 23. But I see another law. Maybe 22 yet. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I delight in the law of God, meaning my spirit wants to do the will of God. Are we together? It's another way of speaking verse 15, alright? Verse 14 and 15, I mean. Now, verse 23. It then says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. So he said, my inward man, and sometimes in scripture, mind refers to the spirit. A lot of times, okay? Mind refer, of course, you have to check the root word a lot of times, but it refers to, because how do I understand that? Verse 22 said, I delight in the law in my inward man. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So if we're talking about the inward man now, we'll have to just suggest that. And of course, we'll not just suggest, we'll check from the root word. It means the same thing, of course. Are we together? So it says, in verse 23, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. You see that? And what did we talk about in 22? Inward man. Mind. So you understand it's a spirit, right? And bringing me into what? Captivity to the law of what? Which is in my. And if you observe Paul's style of writing, when he's talking about inward and outward, it is spirit and the flesh. If you look at Romans 8 from verse 1, it said, the law, for there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, because they don't walk after the flesh, but after the spirit. So you see how he writes. This is his style. In verse 2, he says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ has made me free from what? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm just trying to show you his style of writing. So go back to where we were, so that you understand that mind there simply means spirit. The law of the inward man in the spirit. Are we together? But I see another law in my members. In his heart, in his inward man, sorry, he delights in the law of God. He wants to do the will of the Father. Like Jesus would say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. He said, but I see another law in my, warring against the law of my, that inward man. And bringing me into captivity. Paul is telling them. Now, of course, it's not Paul's present condition. He's trying to deliver them. Are we together? Paul is telling them, while I was trying to live by the Lord, this was my experience. Alright? My inward man wants to live for God. But there is another law in my members, warring against the law of the inward man. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And that's why Paul in Romans 8, 3, we say what the law could not do, in that it was because of the flesh. You see that? So the law could not do so much like Paul is affirming here. He wants to do it. He couldn't do it. He sees what the law says do, yet he cannot do it because another law is at work or at war with the law of his inward man. The law is on his members, the law of the flesh. Are we together? Are we together? For what is the deliverance? That is Romans 8 1. I will not emphasize it so much because we are still in 7. Now, if you look at 24, it said, O wretched man that I am, it said, who can deliver me from the body of death? Wow. Hallelujah. Who can what? Deliver me. He didn't say sin yet. He said the body of death. Remember this, to be carnally minded is dead. So what brings about sin? What steers sin to begin to find expression in our life? The nature of sin and death in the body. Is it the body of death? Now, there's a body of death that's been upon us because of Adam's fall, disobedience. Are we together? But as Jesus came, the Bible says he took that body of sin, Romans 6 and 6, and he nailed it back to the cross. Do you remember? You see, if there is no voracious appetite on your inside to live for Jesus, I tell you, no matter the revelation you hear, you will not live for Jesus. No matter what you hear, I'm telling you, as somebody that I've taught this thing for many years, I've seen people who I taught this thing became terrible people. You know, you thought I was going to say nice and wonderful people. I've seen many wonderful people at the hearing of God's word. I've seen people turn out to be very terrible, even after hearing the word of God. You must desire. You see, this holy moment we're into right now is called warfare. I tell you, this is one of the greatest warfare of a believer. You're listening. Most of you now will be fighting sleep, fighting your mind in this place. Because the devil knows what you want to listen. What you are listening to, I mean. He knows. Are you listening to me? You know, like we always joke on a Sunday morning. You think it's ordinary that people will sit down on a Sunday morning and the next thing is sleeping? You think it's ordinary that we are in church right now and somebody's mind is just wangling, moving, you know, moving around, house rent, food. In fact, some are thinking about that meat their mother fried that they didn't eat. You think it's ordinary? How many of you have almost want to start praying? And while you haven't prayed, your mind is far. How many of you have been there before? You now have to bring your mind back and you ask yourself, what am I doing? It's the enemy. It's in this holy moment. Concentrating is warfare. That's why sometimes when I look at the technical and the rest, you dare to make a decision out of foolishness. I know it's the devil. We put fuel 5,000. We thought it would reach the end of the service. And while in the heart of the service, pop, everything just goes off. Say, what happened? Say, we're sorry. We thought it will reach. You see, that thought that you think it will reach is from the devil. Remember, any thought that seems to raise itself above the knowledge of Christ, that came from Satan. Because he wanted to alter the service. And he succeeded through you. You see that holy moment where you come to church and you know you are supposed to check everybody's mic. But because of play, you are playing. This is your dressing today. And before you know it, service starts. There's little negligence that made me to forget to set microphone. So that when they start worshiping, it came from Satan. But many Christians are not aware. A lot of times it is to the end that the pastor is distracted and loses everything. You know, I went to church. I never knew that. I would not call his name. He used to experience this kind of thing. In Abuja. The heart of town. Around is it Nube they call it? Wuse. I went for a service and before the service I heard him shouting, you are not okay. Who did that? I say, hey, you don't have a pastor friend that is not familiar with the feelings of your infirmity. I understand exactly what this pastor is going through. I was just going and saying, Lord, you know, not that I was happy for him, but I just kind of felt a little bit consoled. You know, when you were growing up, how many of you, when they partake light, and some people have light, you feel bad. You know, that's the beginning of witchcraft. Say, me then bring, me then take and come bring them for everybody. But as long as those people get, we no go get. So if your own is off and their own is on, you'll be praying for their own to go off. Because you know if the two go off, it will now come back at the same time. So when I saw that, I almost wanted to feel consoled. I had to rebuke that thought in my heart. I said, no. I wish him well. We should not be like we're in the same shoe. It's Satan. You are in service, your shoe, under of your shoe begin to scratch you. Then the shoe begin to move towards outside church. You just see your leg moving. Then you just follow the leg. It's the devil. Sometimes, that's why you see pastors sometimes, they are teaching with red eye. Because they are almost losing it. They don't want to just talk and the thing will just come out fully. The anger. Jesus told Mary. Mary was like, Master, you want ice cream? Master, you want it? Jesus said, come and sit down. It's a spirit of religion. Come and sit down. It's not like what she's doing is wrong. But Satan will make sure that it is when Jesus is speaking that you'll be walking. Anything that will make sure that when the word of God is going on, you are walking is from Satan. So that negligence at the beginning of service not to do something before service starts is from the devil. So that when the word is going on, you are busy. and you observe we're in the same church. After like 2 months, that guy has been coming to church for 2 months. The next thing you hear about him in welfare quarter is that he's a womanizer. You are wondering why. You say he's coming to church. He's only coming to church, but during service, he's fixing microphone. So you see, he's not hearing anything. Before you know evil, say, how about now a church member? Boy, it's not hearing the word. Are you all listening to me? So Satan is the source, the author, and the sustainer of disorder. He is. I don't want to say that, but somehow I think I like the fact that God inspired me to say this part too. You have to be very careful. That in a system that things are going normal, only you, Satan, will inspire and say, start coming to church late in that department. Only you. Say, no, that you have 1 billion. Before you even seen the scene, you have an excuse. There is no time. Sir, they don't use, my HODs don't use to understand me. They have changed like 2 HODs. The first one don't use to understand you. The first one now is in another part of the world. Maybe he went for service or something. The second one that we now have, 2 don't use to understand you. Oh, which one will understand you? If you get married and have a child, if we make the child your HOD, the child will not understand you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What makes you mature is the word of God in your spirit. It's not time spent in church. It's not your age, time spent on the earth. A lot of people who are 40 and are foolish. I tell you the truth. Have you seen a 60-year-old man stopping you on the road before? Any lady here? You see an old man say, are you going my way? Have you seen any old man do that to you before? They don't talk to you people? You don't look that ugly. They don't talk to you guys on the road? Oh, wow. Have you seen old men say, were you not shocked? Some of them can bone you 3 times. And they are, are you going my way? I will give you 50,000, 100,000, 200,000. It's funny. Choose to be mature. You see me sparked up telling you this. If we take out 10 years to be teaching you the word of God, if you don't have an appetite, that sincere, voracious appetite to want a change in your life, you'll not see a change in your life. I've seen people who preach for many years, not Christian for many years, preach for many years and are addicted. I've heard stories. You must be the one that will be willing and say, Lord. And it shows during the word session how you receive the word matters. You know, let me not lie to you. There are some times that when I hit a revelation and look at people, I'm amazed. And I ask questions like, do you get what I'm trying to say? And people say yes. And I'm like, wow. I don't think they got it. Because even me, that thing hit my chest. It hit my spirit. So I was just explaining to you, woo, glory. And I'm not saying that is an affirmation that you heard. Or some now the thing has turned to a religion. Hey, whoa, whoa, no. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? But if you truly understand, you can't deny the effect. Are you here tonight? So during word sessions, be very focused, attentive, and always respond to the word. That's how you see a change in your life. Respond to the word of God. Your mind will be in one direction if you are focused and responding. So, are you hearing? Your mind is far. Did you not even hear the question there? Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? Are you hearing? Are you hearing? Are you listening to me? So Paul said in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, he shouted. At that point, oh glory to God, he said, who will deliver me from the body of death? Who will deliver me? Now he knew his problem. See what he was saying? in verse 23. Look at it again. Put up 23. He said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He couldn't help himself. He knew his problem was that body of sin. That body of sin. Oh, glory to God forevermore. That body of sin. Of course, he had told us. But of course, if you look at Romans 7, he's another context entirely. Paul is trying to speak to the religious. In chapter 6, that was not it. But he focused on the religious so much in chapter 7. So even though he had started talking about deliverance from the flesh in chapter 6, he had to say it in another dimension because he was talking to religious people. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? Now see how I started Romans 7. I speak to them that know the law. Now this is the same man that said in Romans 6 and 6. Let's read it together. That said, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be what? That we should no longer be what? And now he's starting again to talk to another set of people. In Romans 7:1. Because these new people, if we talk like this and stop, they may not understand us. You guys get what I'm trying to say? This set of people in Romans 7:1 are religious Christians. Religious Christians. Those living by wrong ideologies. Those that have a wrong mentality about Jesus. Some assumption about Jesus. So Paul said, let me write specifically. Because they think they know God. And Jesus has said, if the light in you be darkness. He said, how great is the darkness? So he needed to write to them and make them understand that he understands exactly what they are thinking. And was trying to affirm to them that your white and white you are wearing and everything does not consummate. Affirm that you are Christians. He's like, I know what exactly is happening to you. That even though your inward man delights in the light of the law of the Lord, you bow your head, you raise it up, you shout, you call God's name, I am sure that the members of your body will not allow you to live for God. Because I was there with you guys. And he said the problem we have, talking to them, is that we were held captive by the body of sin. He said, oh wretched man that I am, who can deliver me? Who can? Now listen, any attempt to live for Jesus outside the understanding of Christ, this is where it will land you. You'll be subjected to Satan. Listen carefully. Because when we say those that live by the law, you are thinking Pharisees alone. You are thinking Pharisees alone. See what he told the Galatian church, who you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, do you want to end in the flesh? You see that? If you try to end in the flesh, you'll be frustrated. Paul said, do not frustrate the law, the grace of our God. We thought he wants to say by sin alone. Mm-mm. He said, don't frustrate the grace of our God by affirming that righteousness can come through the law. Righteousness cannot come through the law. It comes by grace. He said, if you believe like that, then you frustrate the grace of our God. Are you listening to me tonight? Are you all understanding me? So Paul said, the problem is the body of sin. The problem is what? Obviously, the problem is the body of sin. And of course, he had said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can what? Who can deliver me? Who can deliver me from the body of death? But the Bible says Jesus took this same body. Romans 6, 6. He took this same body. He hung it back to the tree. The Bible said in the Amplified rendition, is it that old body of sin was done away with? It was trash, thrown in the trash can. It was done away with. You've got to understand, you have a new body. See what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, if I'm not mistaken. You are completely new. Never been seen before. Never been seen before. I said, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and what? Sanctification and what? Redemption. You see that? He's our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification. our redemption. You see, I've been sanctified, redeemed. I'm the righteous. I'm wise. So you see, you know what you do now? You walk out this understanding. You walk it out. Now you are not trying to get sanctified. You've been sanctified with the knowledge of it. So every morning you wake up, I've been sanctified. Glory to God. I've been sanctified. I'm not trying to be now trying to get sanctified will so subject you. It will limit you. Knowing you are already sanctified gives you more faith. Because what is righteousness? Righteousness is the knowing that you are free from sin, free from its guilt, and that you are standing before God with no inferiority complex. I'm okay with you, Father. I'm cool. See, if you don't feel okay with God, you cannot dare some things. You got to feel okay with God. Else you can't dare some things. You know what Jesus told the Father before he did anything? Father, I thank you because, look at how he affirmed. I thank you because you always hear me. He did something to his mind there. I thank you because you always hear me. I'm sure. You know, you can say, Father, I'm scared. Will you hear me? No. He said, do not be worried for nothing. Be nervous for nothing. But in all thanksgiving, make your request known to God. I tell you, Jesus was making his request known to God there in thanksgiving. Now, instead of saying, Lord, please let these people know you are God, don't fall by hand. He said, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. And the next scene is a roll of the stone. He was so sure to walk. Roll of the stone, prepare. Prepare yourself. And he said, Lazarus, come out. And the Bible said, Lazarus, stood up. And you see, one thing that can limit the power of God again is false religion. Remember, something almost happened there. Mary said, Master, worry not. We are sure that on the resurrection, Lazarus will come back alive. Oh, Rigabahai. Have you heard people that talk things like that? It is God that called him. It is his time. We are in the peak of darkness in this state. But listen, it's for a reason. God did not start it, but God will shine in this season. How many of you have been to services, funeral services, where we all know that everything that has been said there are lies? Now, it's not like we don't know, but we can't talk anything. Because if you even dare it, they may beat you up. Have you been where people are talking and you know these things are lies? I heard a pastor preaching in a funeral service. He said, the reason why I don't talk too much in funeral service is because when I lost my first son, people came and were saying it is God's time. He said, I almost beat them up. I told them, get out from my front. So I can't tell you people it's God's time. I want to be sincere with you. I was so glad listening to the pastor. He said, I know it's the devil that did this. It is not God. Then he now challenged the people. He said, with long life, God will satisfy us. I said, oh, I like this kind of funeral service. He said, so I can't tell the parents. I mean, here is his mother. His mother was seated there. And I'll be saying, God took him. What is God doing with the 40 years, 40 something years? And his mother is dead, almost 70 something. So who should retire first? And some folk came and said, well, God plucks the mangoes, the fruits that are ripe. He plucks them out first. They are the ones that fall. So we all know these things are junk. You think it's okay till it's your turn. Or till it's somebody connected to you and somebody say, God, Pastor, your 13-year-old daughter, God plucked her because she's riper than you. Woo! Woo! Where is the whip? Where is the koboko? Death is an enemy. We all know this thing. Even if you don't understand everything, you know that death is an enemy. Nobody is excited when death happens. Whether they are 158, we still cry. And we think, don't worry, we just graduated. The person is in a better side. You don't want to be in a better side. Immediately malaria come, you are trying to fight your way into the better side. Is God not wonderful? a person saying she's in a better side. He is fighting his way to the better side. They say symptom of malaria. He has taken injection, chloroquine, everything, mosquito net, Fleet House, fighting your way to a better side. Oh my God. You are not a good, sincere preacher. You should be a manifestation of what you preach. How many of you have fought death here several times? Spiritually and physically. Especially when you hear the thing don't keep person before. Like the day I fell and hit the center of my, you know, as I couldn't stand up, one midnight I was looking for food before I got by, and somebody saw. Sorry. And when they saw me, they said, hey, is this, we know this guy. When they came, they were like, ah. He said, this is what killed somebody last week. I was on the ground. This is what killed somebody last week. And I was listening to him telling me, this is what killed somebody last week. I said, hey. Now, instead of fear, I started smiling. Did you know they pay you? I had to smile because I just heard this is what killed somebody last week. If I was not in faith, I'd say, hey, who? Then the guy was speaking, he said, Mpoa, meaning I swear. One of their bike person is a bike rider. He said, Mpoa. He killed somebody last week, went for the burial and came back. He just fell with his chest. And this one, the sharp side even hit him. Woo! On earth. This guy is really God that will help him. Can't you see he can't move? The check came him. And you see, when you are a man of faith, people take you for granted. I told the boy, take me home. Then I called my wife. I just fell. I can't even talk well. My body is mad at me. Guess what? Pastor Samuel, you are too funny. I just entered the call. I smiled too as I entered the call. As I see, that's this thing of being a faith man. But you see, it's good. Nobody believed I was going to die, so I refused to die. I just told God, Lord. The guy said he wanted to stay for the night. I said, you can go. He said, Pastor, you don't look like you can survive this night. I said, you can go. When he left, I just crawled. Locked. I just came to my bedroom. I couldn't sleep on the bed. The bed was making it. I lied on the ground. I said, Lord, not this way. Thank you, Father. As I said, thank you, Father. Literally a hand. Literally, I couldn't see the hand, but the hand touched my chest. As it touched myself, immediately the pain dropped. The next morning, I shared the story here. I went to the hospital to check my. Do an x-ray. I said, check my chest. Something went wrong. When they checked it, they said, Pastor, everything is okay. I said, are you sure it's my chest you check? And as I explained to the doctor, I said, yesterday, almost 12 midnight, I fell at a sharp edge. He said, Pastor, I understand, but if you want us to do it again, we'll do it. There's nothing. Nothing. Look at it. It's very aligned and perfect. I said, okay. So what do we do now? He said, Pastor, take some. If you are Philippine, take. But we don't even know why you are Philippine. But take some whatsoever. Pay relief and go. That was all. Because I didn't believe I'm supposed to die. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Glory to God. Pastor Simon, you are teaching these people how to be reckless. When you are in a plane and it's about to crash. So the way life is, I would not enter plane again. No, people still enter plane today. You know, all these people don't know that from high level to Urukun, it's only when they are traveling they pray, Lord, as I'm going to Abuja, they do not think of flying on the road and say, ah, maybe let me repent for a moment. The woman by the car now that said, how many of you want to receive? You receive Jesus only when you are traveling. You will not drop a big offering. People are giving 10 naira. You give
1,000. Don't mind when I say my picking God could play. When they'll do you special prayers, you say amen. You think you are doing God? Immediately you reach Abuja, is raise her. We don't reach. You don't, before you reach your house, something can happen. You've not heard story of people saying, "I dare never go meet you in 2 minutes," and that was all. Say, Pastor, me, I will not take flight. The way people are dying in flight, I will be using road. In which country first? Let's start with. Tire has removed. People have died. Car, in fact, they are going. Say, I don't know what happened to the car. It just started moving by itself. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Terrible things. Is it your bicycle you want to? People have died with bicycle. What do you trek and see now? People have died on trekking. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Some people, they don't have cow, they're just moving like this. The car just came and picked them. Pop. That's how they went to heaven. What of the plane crash? Some people say, I'm not going anywhere, I'm gonna take time and spend. Plane came from nowhere. Somebody will say, imagine you were fornicating there. And such a thing happened. And but do you know there are people that were not doing anything, they were just sleeping and they still died? Work out your salvation. Work out your safety. Work out your safety. My eyes, the accident I had the last time, somebody told me, Pastor, you are good. Oh. In this accident, you are still able to dodge these things. I first did my head like this. I then said, let me be truthful to this guy. I said, I did not control the steering. He said, who was controlling? I said, the thing was just moving itself. I was going to hit this big anthill. I say anthill, they call it. I was going to hit it. The car turned and went. I missed bridges. I was going to hit a pole. It still turned and went. Then it went and hit the side of a building and stopped. The guy said, you tried. I watched the thing. I said, I did not do anything. I did not touch the steering. Before they got there, I was seated on a chair outside, watching the car too. I said, where is the person? They were trying to open the door. Brakes, what's more brake idea? I said, hey, I'm the one. Of course, I know what will happen. I removed all my new notes, heated all my money and iPad, and I was watching them. Are you the one that was in the car? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. Then one man shouted. I mean, it's a woman. Call on safety ambulance. This guy will soon die here. I said, no. I'm not going to die. They told me to shut up that I don't know what I'm saying. This kind of accident, you are just sitting like this. That's why you can't stand. I now stood. They said, sit down, don't stand. You know when a thief grandmother is talking to you, I just sat down in peace. I didn't want to quarrel. The road safety just came sharp. They were trying to carry me one. I said, hey, stop, I can walk, I'm okay. I said, calm down now, bro. No move or you go fall. I said, no, I'm very okay. Why are you disturbing yourself? You mean we should go back? I said, you can go back. My neighbor then came. He said, Pastor, go to the hospital. I said, I'm fine. Say, go to. That's how me too I had that day. I thought I was fine. In the middle of the night, my chest pumping, pain everywhere. They had to rush me that night. He said, tell somebody to come and stay with you because in the night around 1, it will start. When I woke up the next morning, he was so shocked. Nothing. Am I advising recklessness? No. I knew I was fine. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So if you claim that death is a better exit, why are you fighting death? Say it's the better. Why now they cry for a more? In the day now they tell me I no cry. This same person advising if it's his turn, oh my God. If he said don't cry, say if you come near me, I will break your head. That's why the Bible said when you go to West people, say mourn with those that mourn. Don't go there and be quoting scriptures. It same mode with those that what? Somebody is crying and saying, be a man. They've not slapped you first. It's be a man that have killed many men. Oh. Be a man. Men don't cry. Be a man. Be a man. Many men have died. Be men. Allow the guy to cry. You did cry. You are a man and you are crying. God, I'm disappointed in you. I can't marry this kind of man that cry. Don't marry. Go to the next man. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, mourn with those that what? Mourn. Rejoice with those that what? You know, most times why I find it difficult to go to where people die. It's not like I don't go. I go. I used to sit outside. One time I was somewhere, they said, Pastor, come inside for my advice. I said, advice? The woman cleaned church for several years. Many years she was cleaning church. Only her. Her son was a smoker, an addict. She didn't know. And one day the son went to play football. And when he kicked the ball, he was running. His chest could not curtail the, you know, get what I'm trying to say? He now fell in the field and died. So, when they say her son died, she didn't know what to do. She just lied on the ground. God. This is how she went. God, me? God, me? Me? So when they told me the story, I just peeped. I looked at her. And I came outside and sat down. I said, you said she was cleaning church all her life. I said, she's the present cleaner in her church. She's the only one that cleans. She don't even like people helping her. I said, leave her there to mourn. I said, Pastor, go on. I said, don't talk. Don't even talk anything. Are you hearing me? When she is done, after 2 weeks, we will explain something to her. For now, no advice. They were not hearing now. They enter all of them. I was outside watching and waiting for my turn. In that kind of case, what will you say? Some people say, God is not faithful. He's not faithful. See, I'm going somewhere, all right? Are you here?
Yes, sir.
You know, Romans 6 and Romans 7 does something to us. It affirms something to us. That, you know, in Romans 6, Paul was speaking to everybody, all unbelievers, to come to the Lord. Then in Romans 7, Paul was speaking to religious believers, affirming to us that religion cannot satisfy the soul. Religion cannot what? Satisfy the soul. It is only Jesus that can satisfy the soul. He said in John 6, I think 35, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see it briefly. John 6. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. I am the bread of life. Not even food satisfied the soul. Maybe we'll start from 34 so you get it very well. Sir, they said, give us this bread at all times. What bread was that? Physical bread. They wanted to eat that bread he multiplied. Are we here? And Jesus said, that's not what will get you satisfied. If food is enough for your satisfaction, why do you, please follow me carefully and don't get me wrong. Why do people steal smoke? If food can make people satisfy, why do people smoke? Why do people take alcohol? It's worthless. I mean, you have what it takes, the potency to eat fried rice. Why do you still have to take alcohol? Is there any comparison between fried rice and chicken and fresh juice? Then Zazu? Is there any comparison? Is there any... Some take drinks that when they pour on their flesh, it almost spill their arms. Spirits. They don't stop there. They carry it and put it in their system. And that's not all. They are addicted to it. They say when they take it, they feel calm. I've seen some men that will say, whenever their wife talks to them, the only thing that makes them calm is a bottle of Goldberg. Gulda. When they take it, they forget her voice. Because it is re-echoing. Stupid man. Stupid man. Stupid man. Stupid man. And when he gets to that place where he takes cool off, there's one fair earball waiting for him. He said, "My husband, you don't come?" She now rub his shoulder small. "I hope your wife no stress you today." "Yeah, no mind that stupid man. She really stressed me today. Bring me my usual." You know, that's how some women lost their husband. Their mouth. They don't know how to talk. And we say men should be lost. If you were lost like that, you were a stupid man. But that's how they lost their husband. Did you catch him?
Yes,
sir. So, you are in the same category. Some people, it's drugs. If they had stopped at alcohol, would have said they are even thinking reasonable to an extent. They didn't stop there. They now enter Igbo. Igbo. Not just cigarette. It was cigarette before. Aspen. Pastor Benson, I mean. Try the next one. Roadmas. Ochetelos, you know it all. Eh? Aspen, Benzing, Roadmas. Eh? What? St. Maurice. And the rest. Some of you are saying it, you are remembering them, isn't it? They didn't stop there. They went to Igbo. Somebody was just farming and he just smelled one leaf. He said, "Whoa. Buta." He just went to it. Plug it, smelt it. Ooh. That's how Igbo came about. Igbo was supposed to be, it was meant for, you know, one time I was looking for hair cream to buy because I was not okay with my former hair cream. And one guy suggested one hair cream for me. So when I said, "Okay, you should bring it for me," he said, "Sir, but it has Igbo leaves inside." I said, "Hey, no, no, don't bring it up." He said, "Sir, but it's the best." They are smoking it. That's not why it stopped. You know, Igbo now, see, now I'm calling it Igbo, that leaf, you can use it to make hair cream that is the best. That's the one me I know. There are many use for it. But Satan influenced somebody else to see it in another direction. Not just that. Cocaine. Cocaine. You don't take, don't go away and come back. As did they. How many of you have tested cocaine here? You understand what I'm trying to say? Nobody. Don't go. Some people almost raise their hand though. Don't go. Do not come back. Don't you see what happens to people that drink? Don't think they are big when they drink. Are you mad? Are you mad? When you give them power, they say, "Hey, you are not mad though. Do not come back, normal." It gives you, it just lies to you. It gives you an opportunity. I mean, gives an opportunity for Satan to lie to you about yourself. You just go somewhere you don't know. You think your problem have gone. They are waiting for you to come back and have sense. Then you continue the problem. That's not all. In the north where I stayed, people carry handkerchief. They fetch some dirty, those mud. When you go up to some ngwa that they are not so civilized, there's one kind of gutter. They did not do it with cement though. It has been there for like 25 years as gutter. So there's a part of the gutter that is like black sand. They'll carry handkerchief and fetch it. And when they sniff it, they get lost. Who does that if it's not demons? That's where demons live. Are you seeing what is happening? What are they looking for? Satisfaction. Some of them are categorically, they call themselves Christians. Some of them Muslims, some of them Buddhists, but they are still looking for what? Satisfaction. Because beyond the religion, they have not found satisfaction. That's what Paul was saying. He said, "I find another law in my members." As a religious man, wearing white and white, oh, yet you still want to humanize on white and white. Please follow me carefully. Not trying to mock. You wear your blazers. You look like a man of God. Like the story I told you in the beginning, the apostle on YouTube that said, He was a prayer warrior for several years as a Christian, yet was still struggling with an addiction. When he's not leading people to hunger for God, hunger, you see, go back in the inner chambers and say, that babe, oh God. You see? Because religion cannot satisfy. Drama cannot satisfy. You see, I've been in this thing, right? As a Christian, that's how I've come to terms with this understanding. I don't do anything to please anybody. When you see young people trying to say, pray, I just look at them and I laugh. We have passed all these places. Am I against prayer? No! But when you think that doing like this is how you live above sin, you are a joker. You don't know nothing about God's word. I was talking to a young man in my office. I asked him a question. I said, the way people are going about Christianity, just decorums. I said, what if you meet an atheist tomorrow and God wants to use you to change the atheist? How will he change the atheist? An intelligent atheist. I watched a movie where a young boy was challenging his pastor. A young boy in secondary school quoted some laws from Isaac Newton and the rest, told his pastor to prove the existence of God. The pastor postponed the service, postponed the answer to next service. He didn't know what to say. There are some of us that cannot represent God with what we have in our head. It's not a joke. Maybe in some sectors, not all sectors. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? As a doctor, a scientist, they tell you, okay, this, because of this, we believe there should be no God. You will not start from Bible first. You will first look at those things they are saying first. Then connect it with the Bible. You see, if we are not like this, if we are not trained this, we cannot represent God. You think it's only by this you represent God? No! If you want to prove the existence of God to somebody who doesn't believe in God, is it like this? There's God, oh God really lives. Is that how you prove to the person that there's God? When you are doing this, it should be in your room. Edifying yourself. And remember, is it the dunamis presence of God, power of God, is to affirm who God is. To affirm who God is. Not necessary to prove. There are a lot of people that when you do miracles, they still don't believe there's God. That's why the Bible said in 1 Corinthians, it said there are two categories of unbelievers, the Jews and the Gentiles. It said the Jews desire a sign. It said, but the Greek, wisdom. It said, but Christ has been made unto us both wisdom and power. You see that? So Christ is balanced that. Wisdom and what? You can't say you belong to Christ. Then just, have you heard of men like Elijah? Blah, blah, blah. If you are done saying that, understand that he's wisdom too. Else there will be no balance. And I'm not trying to be biased. You cannot just stay at wisdom and ignore power. You will suffer. There must be a balance. And that is why you see some of us, we don't just come and say wisdom. You see us creating prayer meetings. Because if you are biased, you are lying to yourself. I will hold nothing against nobody. But we have to understand this. Prevalent more in Africa is the other perspective of Christianity. And you see people emphasizing those days, men like Babalola. I kid you not, that thing is restraining people from really showing the power of God in the New Testament. I really want this video out there, please. It's really restraining people from seeing the power of God in the New Testament. I was talking with the Holy Ghost in prayers, and I was asking God, this thing about it will be greater in our days than it has been in the Old Testament. What's happening with it? You know, and the Lord told me, he said the emphasis is a problem. The emphasis. Is it not God that told us that of all men born of women, none is greater than what? John the Baptist. But he said the least in the kingdom is greater. Do you see people, have you seen people fighting us in the New Testament and telling us that is a lie? John the Baptist, Elijah is a system. So we are trying to unravel that system or that mystery called Elijah in the New Testament. Meanwhile, your Bible says the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. How many believe that thing? How many believe it? They are so still fighting. All these new Christian people saying they are stronger than Elijah. They are mad. It's not us that said it. It is the Bible that says so. We didn't say it. And you have to believe what Jesus says. The least where? Is greater than who? And you've been translated from what? Into what? You are in the kingdom of God. So you are greater than what? If you don't believe you are greater, you will not see greater things. See, don't be biased in your thinking. You are not the one that made yourself greater. It is God that says you are greater. Now, if you see yourself smaller, you will never see greater things. It's not humility. It's foolishness. I wouldn't even call it humility. I think it's foolishness for God to say you are greater and you think you are smaller. There are many people arguing that thing. Do you know who Elijah is? Elijah is a system that should be unraveled. Blah, 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 blah. The man that understood the code to calling down rain. The mystery of calling down rain. Blah, blah, blah. All those things are junks. Elijah never had a code to calling down rain. He prayed. He prayed. And the confidence that we have is that when we pray, he answers us. There is no code anywhere. All of those things are junks. But people keep on using these things to make us feel small. And now, whenever, if you look at Hebrews, Paul kind of cited Elijah. But it was for something nice. He said, Elijah was a man with like passions like we. That's what he said. He was trying to challenge us that Elijah was a man with like passions. Meaning, a man like us. He ate food. He drank water. He slept. He was sick probably sometimes. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He had fear. That's why he ran away from the king. Who told you Elijah didn't have fear? He had fear. If he was not afraid, why didn't he stay in the kingdom? He ran away to the bush. I was threatening from afar. He said, but he commanded the rain, the heavens to be closed for 3.5 years. It listened to him. And when it was time, he came, he commanded. Now, they summarize his prayer to be command. Elijah did not stand and say, heaven open. Elijah said, go and tell the king. He told his servant, go and tell the king the heavens will be open. When he went to tell the king, Elijah put, the Bible says, he put his head in between his legs and he began to pray. He will pray for a while and say, go and check the clouds. Pray again and say, go and check the clouds. And the third time when he prayed, well, he said, I saw a hand. It was dark. He said, okay, now I think he was done praying. Then he said, go tell the king. It will soon rain. Because he had prayed. You see that? He prayed. Now someone said, in the New Testament, is that how we do it? Is that how we do it? No. So when we are done with prayers of, you know, intercessory prayers and all forms of prayers, prevailing prayers, Lord, we want the rain to stop, we want this to happen. The Bible said, for us, it is by faith, not by sight. Now, somewhere in your spirit, the Bible said, for we have received the fervent of the spirit. Somewhere in your spirit, there's a note of victory you receive. You just know it's done. Pastor, how long will I pray before I know it's done? You just pray till you know it's done. We don't know how long. Pray till you know it's done. When you receive that note of victory, you stop. Because it is done. And when you know it's done, you act like it's done. One time I was praying in the spirit, and an angel was speaking to me. He said, the reason why we don't hearken to the voice of many Christians is because we don't know when they are commanding or when they are pleading. Because yesterday you came and you said, in the name of Jesus, I pray the legs of my mom is healed. I receive my victory. In the name of Jesus, I receive the victory. You said it a lot of times. They felt like you know what you are doing. The next day, oh God, please, my mother's leg. Are you there? Because Satan ministered to you in the night. You won't believe in dreams more than the word of God. Have you seen Christians like that? You dreamt your mother was dead. You wake up and start crying. They say, what happened? They say, and my mother died. And my dream, when I dream, it comes to pass. Then the Bible said, as a man dreameth in the night, so it is. He said, as a man thinketh, hope you know Satan can put dream in your heart. You know, I had a funny friend many years ago. He said, his wife today, he said he created the vision to see him in his heart, in her heart. Now, I'm not sure, I don't know whether it was true, but he was just joking. He said he was asking her how to refuse, so he just prayed and created a vision and threw in her heart. And she saw that he was the one, and the next day when he said hi, she said hello. And that's how they started talking. And I asked her, when did you dream the dream? She told him, she dreamed the dream. And I said, oh, wow. And they are married now. Then he told her. Hallelujah to Jesus. I don't know if he was joking, but he was saying it like he knew what he was saying. And I sit down and create dream and put you thought you heard. And dreams a lot of times are because of the activities of the day. They've told you, people have talked, oh, see your big and big and big fish. This, that, that, this. You talk with a lady 5 hours. I'll give you ice cream. Come and take ice cream. That one, this one, that. Then in the night, you now see yourself giving her ice cream in a wedding gown. Then you think she's not your... Say, Pastor, I swear I dream. I saw it. Your young man will watch. You dreamt it. But you've forgotten the days you were saying, Betty, what did you eat today? Well, I ate beans, but what's her sister's name? Rejoice was stubborn. She couldn't make it so fast. So we made it in the night, blah, blah, blah. Then Benjamin would say, then she would not ask me, Benjamin, what did you eat? Benjamin would say, I ate, guess. Oh, I don't like guessing. Oh, I don't like. Just guess now, guess. Okay. You ate ona. Well, you are almost there. Tell me now, I don't like this kind of thing. You see? Then that night you don't see Betty coming like a lamb. See, Kai, God don't show me my wife, but how would tell prophet? How would I tell her? You see, but you've been playing. This is how you get dreams sometimes. Oh. I say, God show you that. Am I saying God will not show you? He can show you. Years ago, somebody saw her husband giving her communion. So I said, my dear daughter in the faith, what does this mean? Say, it means he's my own. We are one body, one spirit. Oh, what a vision. Let's clap for that vision. Powerful vision. And I say, hey, this girl, you have started lying. That's what I told her. I say, you have started lying. Hallelujah. So you get what I'm trying to say? So the angel of the Lord told me, said, he doesn't know sometimes whether they are commanding, or they are pleading, or they are crying. We are given an orientation by the Holy Ghost that these guys are kings and priests. So we are coming expecting to be commanded by kings and priests. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because God told them, these are my royal priesthood, a peculiar nation, a people set apart, prepared unto only every good works. And when they came to royal kings and priests, they started hearing things. Oh boy, things hard. Things hard, guy. He choke. Nigeria don't happen to me, brother. When last I had 2K, boy, it is choco. They are saying, but let the weak say, I'm sorry. Forget that thing. Sometimes you have to just be real. You have to be real. You are telling the angel you want to be real. The angel is, you are being real. Boy, he's telling the other one, Gabriel and Mike are talking. That guy is being real. They are not for us. Let's look for the ones God sent us. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, it said, wherever the angel saw the world going to, they followed. So the angels follow the word of God. So the word of God is upon us and is in us. As we speak God's word, as we say we are new creatures, we are a portrait of the word. Paul calls us living epistle, written and read by all men. When they see the word made flesh, they follow us. Not because we're powerful initially, but because of the by the reason of God's word in us, in our spirit. He said, you are made pure because of my word in you. And that's why some people fight the fact that we are bigger than angels. We are not bigger than angels from the day our father and mother gave birth to us. But listen, we are not born again. This is our new birth. It's not a function of our mother's and father's decision. John 1 says so. We are born again by the Spirit. This new birth. So your problem is that you are thinking it was Simon giving birth in Kaduna that is commanding angels. No. It's Simon born of the Spirit. Of the incorruptible seed of God's word. That's speaking. He said you are born by the incorruptible. I feel the energy of God in my spirit. He said, you are born by the incorruptible seed of God's word. Wow. So you see, that was not a mere man commanding angels. That is why these folks are angry with us. Have you seen them before? On Facebook, you see them getting angry with us. See, I heard some people saying they are commanding angels. The angel, no, you cannot command. You cannot. He said, even Jesus could not command angel. He said, Jesus said, if my kingdom is of this world, I would have told my father, oh, wrong displacement of scripture. Wrong displacement of scripture. Okay, what do you say of the angels that prayed? The disciples that prayed that angels came. Are you listening to me? And opened prison doors. What do you say about that? What Jesus was trying to say is that the order of fighting is not after the order of this world. I was born for this. This is what I'm born for. This is your system. If I want to follow what is happening right now, I can just cause my angels to come and scatter everything. But this is not, I mean, this is what I was born for. I was born to die. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why angels should not come down and do anything. What good will it be if any angel had come at that point and tried to stop what Jesus was supposed to do? Remember, he even said, nobody has the power to kill me. I have the power to take my life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Imagine Jesus release angels at that point. You think angels will not come? They'll enter the earth. They'll enter the earth. You haven't talking, you have been funny in the Old Testament before Jesus came. Look at the way angels were walking on the earth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So what is the argument for? Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. Indeed, it is not of this world. Else he would have been walking with angels by his side. But that's not how it's supposed to be. He can intersweet in both realms. But it was destined Jesus to die, be what? Buried and what? Resurrected. What if, okay, let's keep all those swords aside. If angels are that powerful, why did Paul said, even if be an angel that comes to you with another gospel, tell him, get out. And I was talking with that guy that was telling you people about. I asked him a question. I said, when you overemphasize encounters over the word of God, you give demons legal grounds to destroy people. You make it easy for Satan to lie, kill, and destroy. I hope you know Muhammad had an encounter. I hope you know Buddha had an encounter. They all saw supernatural beings. That's why even if you put knife on their neck, they will tell you, kill me for what I believe. They had an encounter. There are people who are doing their service today by riverside. They had an encounter. An angel told a demon looking like an angel told them, go to the riverside. Go and start a church there. So they called their church by the riverside. There are some who are pastors that kill birds and kill lambs. You talk to them, they will tell you it has been working. In fact, do you know some churches now are still killing lambs like Old Testament? So what do you say? We don't emphasize encounters over God's word. Are you listening to me? Because Satan can come and lie to us through encounters. You see, an angel just come. Because you know how angels look. I said, hi, my daughter, Sarah. I am Michael. And listen, you're going to go to that church the next time and tell Prophet Simon that you are my husband. And that Mama T is the wrong one. I have picked you as the woman of that ministry. But his eyes were not open. He was not patient. And that's why he rushed into the arm of the wrong woman. Go and fight for what belongs to you. Raga. And imagine Sarah likes encounters. That day we come to church. The character is different. And with my wife talking, she just come, hello there. And she shakes me and palms me, and Mama T is watching. What the heck? And she said, woman, how are you? And she goes back. Wow. Mama T is like, what did I see in that church? I'm like, what did we see? And the next moment I get a test. Thus says the Lord. Riga, riga. Trouble have started. Our trouble not started. Especially because she believes in encounters. I must fight for my husband. She now share with a sister that believes in encounters like her. Then they are in 21 day fast to recover all that was lost. Encounters can put you in trouble. I'm telling you this is a true life story. It happened with somebody I know. They told him that the lady came and told him, he said, see, that lady you want to marry is not your wife. I'm the one designed for you, but because you are not spiritually mature, you are not seeing it. He now came to me, sir. Now, because he was not so strong in the things of God, I think like 2 years there about, and the lady said was more born again. Now was born again before him. So he came to the church after like 1 year, 2 years. He was now so sure that that lady was supposed to be his wife, and that vision came from father sister, and she came and told him he should wait. That so he was meeting me, Pastor. I'm worried, dude. This lady has been in church for like 10 years, and I just came like 2 years. And she said, I'm the one, but I'm not spiritually mature too. He was worried sincerely. I said, you are worried? She said, yes. What's her name? When you got the name, I said, ooh. I said, young man, welcome to Christendom. I said, God did not tell her anything. She likes you very well. And she's jealous that the lady you want to marry is the one for you. He said, Pastor, are you sure you did not pray? I said, I don't need to pray for this yet thing. Go and marry your woman. That's how he went in his might. There was one also I knew. They were serving God together in the ministry. The lady came and told him, God said, you are my husband. He now prayed small and accepted. Decided dating. Then God now told her to dump him. His best friend. God now told the lady, you are my best friend, now follow. So she dated him, and now she's dating the best friend, and two of them are mocking him. So he had emotional, you know, trauma. He almost left the church. He called me that he wants to leave the church. I said, how many souls have you won? He said, more than 150. I said, 150 will follow you. Stay there. You know, I was quite disturbed. How can somebody be able to win 150 souls and a lady won him? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The Lord give you understanding. Realize. Because Satan knows what gets to the heart of a man the most is a woman. You see all these men, they'll be talking, or Cherry Sonny may be talking to themselves and just boning. So, boy, maybe like, so you're supposed to sing that song. When Kira just passed, hi, it's your two of them. That's how most men are. Have you observed men, women, have you observed men like that? The moment people pass, see now they are boning their face so that it don't look like what I'm saying is true. They're like, Allah, I will not do like that. You see, they are 24, is it 24, 30, what is it? So Satan knew that. He said, if, oh yeah, now, get. You can imagine if, hi baby, daddy, and that was all. He don't fly. If Satan wants to get this man come easily, as he's like this now, he will make him fall in love with the wrong woman. I hope you are not falling in love. What am I hearing, falling in love? Don't fall in love. Stand there and look at the congregation. If he wants to get this guy now, he will make him fall in love with the wrong woman. As he fall in love, finish, boom! Satan will start controlling him and telling him, I'm speaking to him. They see the way you sang in church the other day. Everybody scatter. Even prophet Nidal. What? But boy, for prophet to Nidal, your level don't pass this same mile. Because prophet didn't lead anyhow for people worship. But that day, prophet, bow! In the one grace. But what now? An international movement, you need to start going to different places. See, baby, talk to me. That's what we mean by helper. You are boosting my, you are scattering my data. You are my helper. people like that, when they have a lady in their life that tell them, see, you are worshiping well, but be careful. Your pride is coming to say, women should be submitted to their husband. You, now talk you be. You know they submit, and so they talk. You know they ever see good thing for me. Only bad thing. That woman, hold on. That's your wife. Not every time. Oh. See, so his pastor says she's my wife. I now understand. Calm down. Sometimes. Are you listening to me? The one that will challenge you. You know, every time one of the things that made me to know Mawati was my wife. When we started, everybody would say, yes, sir. When I say everything, not that she was not she was respecting me, but I observed she challenged me the most. She can ask challenging questions. And if you truly had fear for me, you can't ask such a question. So, if I was ahead dating, it was now worst. Then one day we're talking about scripture. She now said, I don't agree. I looked at heaven. I looked at the earth. I looked at her. I stood up. I said, look at you. When did you start this thing? You don't agree. You know where I've preached. I started giving her my CV. I said, before you became born again, I've been preaching and winning souls. I've read the Bible cover for cover. You don't have anything that is in your heart to not agree with me. What do you know? She now laughed. But Simon, you can say that, but me, I still don't agree. I say, hey. Then I say, why is it that you don't agree? She now explained. And when she was explaining, I saw where she missed it. I said, no, that's not it. When I corrected her, she said, yes, you two, you'd have said it like this. I say, hey. What impetus. So when I found that she had impetus, one time I was praying, I was saying, God, I hope this man one day will not stand up in board meeting. GCMI. As a prophet, you have said your own. We and some pastors, we disagree. As I was praying, the Holy Spirit told me, said, nothing like that will happen. That's your wife. I said, that's my wife. That's your wife. I almost left. I didn't tell you about this. There's one day I wanted to call. I said, see, if you come from this month, we are not again. Just pretend we never met. Do you understand? Especially now that you are graduating, just go home. Eh? Don't come back for service. Your works are okay. And if you want some partnership, we'll try and give you some. You know, I was just preparing. The Lord told me, that's your wife. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because the rest, celebrity, sir. That's why if I marry, I say, do like this. So I say, good eyes. Why? Hallelujah to Jesus. Before she grew and, you know, right now, in fact, she hears the instruction in my heart before I even give the instruction. I can't be in a place and I'm talking, you see, Mama did talk. They did not, she will not talk. My husband is here. She can't talk. I gave instruction once. It should not be like that. Pastor Simon, you said it should not be like that. Then she'll smile and be going. Because I can't repeat twice. It's a training, but it was not like that. Yet I understood that it was supposed to be like that because God wanted me to be better. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. So that's how Satan, if he wants to steal, when I give him a lady. And as I'm looking at him, it's like he likes fine girls very well. That's how most boys like fine girls. Do you like fine girls? You heard it. You see, as the spirit says. Which spirit? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And how forced wives to be used to control men. As he's like this now with the woman will not tell him, I don't like the way Ochedi talk to you. I don't like it. The way you are, see, Ochedi jealous you. You say, prophet, don't they like you, Pastor Ochedi? See, I've been in church for years. I know church problems, though. that will hear this one now. Come, for instance, Otis will tell him, now you, Pastor Joe, talk to like that. It's before I was respecting Pastor Joe. Chance him now. You don't do things where they pay me. Finish him. The way Pastor Emmanuel used to talk to you, the thing used to surprise me. Now he be prophet. Pastor Peter, did he jealous you? These are words from women. You know, one time I was judging two pastors' case in my office. I couldn't believe that day would come in GCMI. I couldn't believe it. As they were talking, like lion, I said, eh? Who were behind it? They are babes, no wife. Oh. As I looked at them, I said, go for be batting. They were looking at me. I said, go. Then I shouted, I said, are you mad? They now turned to my phone. If you give them one little opportunity, it's not true, it's true. I said, hey. I said, two of you, go and call those things that put you in this situation. I'm sorry, but that's what I said. I said, go and call those things that put you people in this situation. They called two of the ladies. I said, what did you say? What, in their front? They didn't say it. I said, sir, I thought he said it. They were just talking things they don't even know. Nasty. Trouble in the heart of two matured lions. And I warned them. I said, if a woman ever brings you people to this office again, you'll be sacked. First and last. If you don't train women well, Satan will use them and destroy you. If you train them well, God will use them and elevate you. When they say two will chase 10,000, they don't mean you and a witch. They mean you. Get it very well. Not you and Jezebel. Before you say, hey, it is not good for a man to be alone. You can be married and alone. Do you know that? When you are married with somebody you are not caught out with, caught out to be with. Do not be unequally, what? Yoke with what? Unbelievers. You be alone. There are many who are married and alone. Are you aware? Married and alone. So when they say God says it's not good for that you to be, all this great grandfather scripture, if they want you to marry, they say it is not good for him to be alone. No, go and marry. That's not all the reason to be married. And if you want to marry, trust God for your wife. Trust God for your husband. Are you listening to me? Your own. See, it's no fine boy that is the lasting characteristic that will keep you in that marriage forever, because that marriage is eternity. You can't come out. If it's the teeth, think again. You don't have sense. It's teeth that is making you like somebody. Do you have sense at all? Teeth. In teeth, gap. You get open teeth. I like them. Are you okay? What will soon perish? At 75, it will remove. See that girl. Come on. Get blah blah blah. It's just 70-75. Most things will vanish. They'll begin to diminish. All you begin to interface with is the soul. So maybe sometimes when people look at your fathers today, you are wondering how other they are enjoying their life. They just come out with the mother and sit under the tree and just be just there, be laughing. You'll be thinking, ah, these people are suffering. Let me go and enjoy my life out there. A day will come, you too, you will sit down like that. If you don't marry rightly, instead of gisting, it is cursing, you be cursing. At 70, you are insulting. When your heart should be, that's why you die early. 71 will not even reach you, you have gone. They asked most men, what is the secret of long life? The man was 90 something years. He said, just marry a woman that will give you peace. You see that? Peace. And sit down. Young men, are you hearing me? Marry a woman that will give you what? Let me say this last thing. Sometimes you people think, I hope you are getting blessed, it's wonderful. You think a woman should try to work herself out. A lot of women are doing that. I mean, we've never had a generation so funny like this generation. People are trying to work out everything on their body more than their salvation. People are working out their chest, and it's not bad. Working out their whatsoever on the chest, well, it's their own cup of tea. Working out their back, are you listening to me? Working out their whatsoever at the back, and etc. Do you understand me? Glory to God. And why are they doing all of these things? To attract men. Because most men think with their esophagus and not their brain. So you see a lady going out. Because she knows she'll attract men. She'll attract men. One time I heard a lady, I will never forget, while I was a student. They were saying, "Oh, Sissy, you look so hot." She said, "Hey, leave me your selling point." I said, "Jesus Christ. Selling point." Some of you are doing like this. Most of you think like that too. Selling point. Because most men, that's what they are looking for. God has given you potentials. Greatness in you. Look for a woman and marry. You are looking at the selling point. And you think you'll be great. That your greatness will be cut out is the truth. Are you listening to me? Follow God's will for your life. It takes a man that is sold out to the Spirit. Listen, many people don't understand. That's why some preachers will tell you, marry who you like. Marry, go and check the lineage. If they are fat, if you don't like fat people, don't. Those ones are not, they are not sold out to the Holy Ghost. They don't understand it. If you are sold out, if that body of sin has been done away with, are you listening to me? If that whole thinking is gone, what you are looking for in a lady is the ability, her ability to help what God has put in your heart. If you see it, you go for her. Because every other thing will be added. It's the truth. And like I said, I don't have a problem with ladies working out whatsoever they want to work out and men working out. First things first. First things first. What's most important? Thinking. The right thinking. Are you listening to me? Are you all listening to me this wonderful evening? I didn't really finish my sermon, but I will stop here. Are you blessed? Have you been blessed? Celebrate Jesus. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all. From my heart to the heart, Jesus be. It's all about. Yes, it's. Oh, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it has always been, it's always been you, Jesus. Oh, but Jesus, nothing else, nothing in this world, nothing in this world. Yeah. For Jesus, you're the same, everything. Jesus, you, from my heart, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. It's yes, from my heart, from my heart. send them all about you, eternal. Yes, from my heart, from my heart. Jesus be the center. It's yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. One more time. Lord, I give you my, Lord, I give you my heart. Oh, I give you my soul. I live for you, Lord. I live for you alone. Every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. One more time. Lord, I give you. Lord, I give you. Give you my soul. Yeah, I for you alone. Every moment I'm awake. Lord, I have your way. Every step, moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way. Every step that I take, moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way. Lord, every step that I take, every moment I wait, Lord, I have. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word tonight. We know our lives can never remain the same at the hearing of your word, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.